Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Shmoyin Asur, the 18th Perek in the Rambam's Hilchas Isur Biyah, which we continue in the theme of the previous Perek, which the Rambam was discussing the unique halachas of forbidden relationships, that as they apply to a Kohen, and one of the women was that of a Zayna, which as the Rambam is going to qualify exactly who that woman is, and the related discussion of a Shvuya, a woman taken into captivity. So Rambam begins Halach Alf, qualifying who is the Zayna that's forbidden to any Kohen Hedyot to marry. Says Ram Piyash Mua Lamanu, from the tradition we have learned, Shazayna Mur Bater, this is the Torah, the harlot, who that does it refer to in that's prohibited to the Kayin, he that is either Kol Shein the Bas Yisrael, if she's not a Jewish woman, automatically qualified as a Zayna forbidden to a Kayin, and with this unique prohibition of a Zayna, Oi or Vas Yisrael should nivel l'odim she'asu l'nasiloi, or if you have a Jewish woman that cohabited with a man that was forbidden for her to marry him, and this is Isra Shabbat Kol. This is a unilateral prohibition for everyone. Or number three, shenivela lachal, or if she had relations with a chal, who that man was born from, his father was a forbidden Kohanic relationship. For example, a kohen married a grusha, and they had a son. If she has relations to that son, who's a chal, although she actually permitted to marry him. Those are the three types of women, of categories, that are forbidden as a zayin. Now, lafikach, therefore, what's not included, harinabas labahema, if a woman had cohabitation with an animal, bestiality. Now, av b'shibes skila, even though she gets the punishment of capital punishment of skila, of being stoned, loinas a zayin, that wouldn't make her into a zayin. There's obviously no marriage to an animal, and b'loi nifas l'kunin, therefore she does not become invalidated to Kayin. Sharili Nivala Adam. She didn't have cohabitation with a man that was forbidden to marry her. And she's not a non-Jewish woman, and she didn't have be with a chal, which were the three categories. And so to Vabala Nida, sometimes relation with a menstruating woman. Afbishi because even though that's a punishment of Kariz, she doesn't become a Zaina, and therefore she doesn't become forbidden to a Kayin. Shahari although she's forbidden in that time of the month, in that state, but she's not forbidden to marry that person, therefore that would not qualify, even if that's a biasura, would not make her into a zayin. Halacha beis, v'chena ba'ala panoya, so too, if let's say a man has relations with a single woman. Even if she was a prostitute, she was a designated, shefkira atzma lakol, she made herself ownerless for anyone that was could have relations with her. Now, here too, alfa b'yeshiva malchus, even though there is a punishment of malchus, because of leisi kedeshim leisi yisrael, having relation with such a woman, leinasa zayna, having relation with such a woman does not make her into zayna, but leinasa makuna, that is not invalidated from marrying a kohen, sharei einasur lenaslai, the men that are having relation with her are not forbidden to marry her, and therefore it's only that which is a man who's forbidden to marry her. Because as Rama says, aval, however, hanavelas leachem misur lavin hashav and makoil, but let's say she had relations with one of the men that are equal for everyone with a biblical negative prohibition of marrying her. And ve'im yuchin bekanim, it's not something distinct for kahanim. Okay, that's what we're talking about regarding zayna. We'll see regarding chalala. But it's not distinct, it's a prohibition for anyone, negative prohibition. Oy misur, I say, or even that which is just a positive commandment. And ve'im tzarech lemes, says Rama, I don't have to tell you, l'misha asur l'mishum erva, that if she's having a relationship with a man that's forbidden to her as an erva, oy l'gai ve'evet, or to a non-Jew or a slave, this is the criterion, since it's forbidden for her to marry him. Oh, and you're having a relationship with such a man that you're forbidden to marry, that makes her into a zayna through that act of cohabitation. Now, halacha gimel, which one of the other categories. So to a woman who converted or was a freed slave woman, although she converted or was freed less than 3 years old, which at times that doesn't disqualify her because she can only be, let's say, ba'ula, after age 3, but hoil ve'inabasi, so since she's not a Jewish-born woman, she's a zayna, vasulukan, like we said, that's one of the other categories which would make her forbidden to a kohen. Mekan Omer, from here we say, regarding what we said in the previous halacha, a goya, nosna, mamza, if you have a non-Jew, or from the nesinim, which is one of these people we mentioned in the previous parak, which are forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, a mamza, or illegitimate child, which these are people that, although they converted to Judaism, but they're forbidden to marry to the Kahal, which are also forbidden to marry to the Kahal, which crush testicles, or a severed organ, or a chal. Again, if any one of these men, which are forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, Shabal Yehudis, and they had relation with the Jewish woman, so they make her into Zayna, but there's still Kuhn, she comes about for Kuhn. the Heiser Kenes. Let's say she herself was a Bas Kohen, Pasulu Minat Truma. They invalidate it from Truma because once she has Biyah to someone that's invalid, which we learn from a Pasig, Kisil Ish Zar, which is for this man, but Zar Tahar, that would make her Bitruma Sakat Shem Leitechel, she can't eat Truma anymore. And Bechen Yivama Shem Allah Zar. So do these halachas apply to Yivama, a sister-in-law who her husband died without any children, that no one's allowed to marry her, and this is more stringent than a regular Isturi Lavin, and some other man has a relation with her, and it's forbidden to marry her, Asu Zaina. So he makes her into a Zaina. Whereas my islandness, Mutas Lakoin, although this is discussion in the Gemara, an islandness, a woman who came to have children, who was born a certain way, certain type of a body, she's permitted to a Koin, being a Zaina, that doesn't qualify her as a Zaina. And she's permitted to marry a Koin. Now, look at doubt. Ha-ba al-achas ma-shnesu ki-yitzben. Again, we're talking about these having forbidden relations that one is forbidden to marry. But here he's having relations with a woman that's called a secondary erva, which only rabbinically forbidden for him to marry. For kids, or those which are similar to that, for example, Habal Krebis Chalutzas, if someone has relations with the relative of his Chalutza, meaning his sister-in-law he did Chalitza on, her relative he has relations with. Oyal Chalutzas, or even on the woman he did Chalitza to, La Asa Isa Zaina. That doesn't go ahead and make her into a Zaina. Shari in Asurli Nasla Minatari, because biblically he's not forbidden to marry her, like we explained in Hilchas Yibum in Paragraph Alocha Yud Beis Yud Gimel. So therefore, again, since it's only a rabbinic prohibition, would not qualify her as a Zaina by having relations with her. Halacha Hey, Halamata, this comes to teach you like this. She'enha Yaisa Zaina Toila Bibi'ila Shal Issa. So that making a Zaina, although some would interpret and translate the word like that, a Zaina is not a woman who had a prohibited act of cohabitation. Sharbala neither, because someone has relations with a menstruating woman. Oh, Al Gadesha on a harlot. Of an Ibrahim Behemoth, if she had relations with an animal. But Nivila Be'ilisha Issa, she's having a prohibited cohabitation, for Lena Zaina, she doesn't become a Zaina. And so to the other way, Umish Nasil Chal, if someone gets married to a Chal, and Nivila Be'ilisha Hatta, when she's married to him, she's having a permitted, she's allowed to marry a Chal. Commercial bar, like we'll explain later on in Perikot Tesalacha Design, still Vanasa Zaina. We said that's one of the three categories that actually makes her into Zaina. And therefore, it says Ram Ve'ena Dovatol El Babigimu, because really the primary idea of making a woman to a Zaina is that of a blemish. And from the tradition we learned, that becoming blemished only either from a man that's forbidden to her, which we said forbidden to marry her, or where she gets married to a Chal, commercial marnu, like we explained in Halacha Aleph. Or, like I said, a non-Jewish woman. Those are three categories that make a woman into a Zayna. That's forbidden for a Kohen to marry. Now, halacha vav, kal nevelas adam shayisa is a Zayna. If a woman did have relations with a man that would make her into a Zayna, because she's forbidden to marry such a man. So, such a act of cohabitation, bein ba'inis, bein baratzin, whether because she was raped and violated, or whether she did it consensually, bein mezadim, bein mishkog, whether she did it liberally, or did it by mistake, bein gedarka, bein shalik gedarka, whether she did it in the vaginal way, the anal way, but mishahereba, the moment that there is the initial act of cohabitation, nisla mishab zayna, she already becomes invalidated as being called a zayna, ubavad shetiyah ba'shal shalom yamecha, as long as she's over 3 years old, and that the man who's having a relation with her is also over 9 years old, so that it would qualify as an act of Biyah to become this halacha of a Zayna. Now, the Ram continues regarding the consequential halacha, as which is the well-known halacha of a woman being a married woman having relations with another man. Lafika, therefore, if a married woman has a relation with any other man, whether it was rape or consensual, because that will qualify her as a Zaina, because it's having a relationship with a man that she's forbidden to marry, because she's a married woman. Now, halacha zayin. Eish is kohen shenetza. So, consequently, if a kohen has a wife that was raped, if he's going to have relations with his wife, he's going to get lashes because of defilement. Because it says in the pasuk in Devarim, "Lo yuchol bala rishna shel chalosh lekach liislay liisha," that her first husband that sent her away cannot go and take her back as a wife. Acher shetama, after that she became defiled. Which, as the Rambam explains, hakol b'chol, everything is included in this pasuk. She'im nivlu. You see that if a woman had relations with another man, asur nablein, that she's forbidden on their husbands, whether when she's married or whether after she's divorced, whether it was rape or willingly, you're not allowed to go and take back a wife that was defiled. Now, and therefore the Kohen's wife is forbidden. Now, par l'cha akasim, eishes sol shenetza, there's an exception that's mentioned in the pasuk regarding the wife of a non-Kohen. If she was raped, she muteres l'bav, then she permitted to her husband, like it says in the pasuk in the Midbar, the healing this pasuk, that she wasn't grabbed, then she's forbidden, but if she was, she's going to be permitted. But that's an exception unique to the wife of a Yisrael. Avalashis claimed with the wife of a Kohen, b'yisrael remember, she remains with the Isser, because she is a Zayna, because she was married and she had a relationship with another man, which we said it's inconsequential if it was even done by Einus, and therefore he's going to get lashes also as a Zaino for this kind having relations with his wife once she was defiled by, even if she was raped, by another man. Now, halacha ches. Eish is Solshenensa, the wife of a non-Kohen who was raped. So, Afa Bisham Tesla, although we mentioned just before that she permitted to her husband, but a Sula Kuna, but if let's say her husband dies, she will be forbidden to marry a Kohen, because like we said, she is considered a Zayin. Eish is Kohen Sha'am al-Bal. Let's say the wife of a Kohen says to her husband, Nenasti, I was raped. Oishagagti, Vola'avar la'yachad, or I made a mistake, and I didn't realize that I was doing something wrong, a man had relations with me. Oishabo'ed echad ve'elay, Allah Shazan. Or even if one witness comes along and says, yeah, I saw your wife being Mazana. So whether it's saying it was raped or willingly, it's not going to make his wife forbidden on him, because and this is referring to the case that when she says I was raped, that maybe she just really wants to marry someone else, and it's a great excuse to get out, that she's not going to be able to stay married with him, and she'll be able to get out of him. Now, regard a one witness, the reason why she doesn't become forbidden is because Eid Echad is not Nemun in a case of Erva. You need two witnesses for Davar Shebe Erva. Only exception is if he gave her a warning and said, don't seclude, and she did seclude, then we believe one witness. But generally, we don't believe one witness. Now, but if his wife is trustworthy to him, meaning he knows that probably this mistake happened, and he believes her, or he believes that friend, that person, that even though it was one witness, for some of that, Lebrayman is really, he really relies on what they say, then he should divorce her, because let's say they subject to fulfill the doubt that maybe she is a Zaina, because the Eishes Kohen Shenensa is going to be forbidden to her husband. Halacha tes. Let's say Eishes Kohen Shem Lamal, let's say wife of a Kohen says to her husband, Nenasti, I was raped. So, Afa Bisham Tes Lamal, like a Majorban, although she's still permitted to her husband, like we explained in the previous halacha, because we're concerned that maybe she's making this up because she wants to marry someone else. Hare Asu, Lachol Kohen Shabbalim, Acha Shem Asbal, but she is forbidden to any Kohen in the world after her husband passed away, even though an Amon is permitted to Kohen Hedid. Shari Haida, she's in it, because she's admitting that she was Mazana, that she became a Zaina, no matter if it was Ba'ainas Baratzin. Va'asra Atzma, therefore she made herself forbidden. She becomes like a forbidden piece of something that's forbidden, which like a piece of Chaz, she becomes forbidden, because she's saying, I am Chaz, I am a Zaina. And regarding that, the person, what's called Shavi Nafsha Chadich, the person can make themselves something that is forbidden. Now, Halacha Yud Ram continues regarding a suffix in this Halacha of Zaina. Let's say Kohen Shekidish G'dayla G'tana. Let's say Kohen got engaged to a woman, whether an adult or a minor. Now, Ba'achas Man, which is important to say that it's possible that she was Mazana after the Kedushin. At a later point in time, they finally consummated the relationship. Ba'alau, he has a relationship with the Tonshah Matzah, the position. He claims that he found her to what's called be pressed by a man, meaning he didn't find her virginity. So the Nesel of Mesavik, out of doubt, she's going to be forbidden to him. Why? Shema Kohen Kedushin Nibelo. Now, maybe it's true. Maybe she had Bia before they were even engaged, which, therefore, that wouldn't make her forbidden to him. But Oyachi Kedushin, maybe it was after the Kedushin, therefore she'd be forbidden, even if it was a rape, like we said. So, therefore, out of the doubt, the Sabek Zaina should be forbidden, the Sabek Deirais, the Lachomer. Now, Yisrael Shatan Tain Nezubar, let's say a non Kohen, he makes this claim when he gets married, says, I didn't find her virginity when we got married. Loin Nesulab, she would not be forbidden them, and the reason is Sheishkan Shnei Svek, because this is what's called Svek Svek. It's a double doubt. Because Shema Kohen Kedushin, Shema Ach Kedushin. First of all, maybe she had relations with a man before Kedushin, or maybe after. So since it might have been before, that's one suffix of Heter. Now, Vafilin Nemelach Kedushin, even because it happened after they were engaged, but Shemba Inu Shem Baratzin, we don't know how it happened. Maybe she was raped, maybe it was consensual. Sha'anusa Mutezli, so like we said, this is different than the previous case, because by Yisrael, if his wife, which includes during engagement, was raped, then she's permitted to him. Kamesh Ba'an, like we explained in Allah Chazayin. So because it's a double doubt, so therefore, she's going to be permitted to. Now, halach yirav, but therefore, lafikach. However, what could be even problematic by Yisrael is in kitcha vili. So let's say her father got her engaged, betrothed to a non-Kohen, but v'pichusim b'ashol shem yamechad, she was under 3 years old when her father married her off. V'tonch mitzadrus ish, and then he subsequently claims that he finds her not having besulam, nesul of misafik, here she will be usher on him out of doubt, even if it's Yisrael. And even though she's a minor, because the Rambam Shita is that even a minor, if she's Mizan Baratzin, she becomes forbidden to her husband, that's a Yisrael, as Rambam said in Paragim Halacha Beis. Because in this case, here there's only one doubt. Because Shema Ba'ayna, Shema Baratzin. The only doubt we have is maybe she did it consensually, maybe she was raped. Because the doubt of maybe the Bi'u was before Kedushin is not possible because she got engaged when she was under 3 years old. And if it was under 3 years old that she had Bi'a, which was before the Kedushin, the Besulim, the virginity, would come back. And since there's no Besulim here, obviously it'll happen after the Kedushin. Since there's only one doubt, it's a suffix deraisa, a suffix, a biblical doubt, and they will go stringently, and therefore she will be forbidden to her husband. Now, Kalisha Shekina Lobala. Now, however, any woman that her husband had warned her, what's called kinui, vinista, she's secluded. Now, Valoishas may say that she didn't drink, which the halacha is, okay, now we don't know, we have a doubt, she has to drink to say the water, she didn't drink. So, Asu Lakain. So, she's going to be forbidden to a kain when her husband dies, and then she's Sveg Zaina. We have a doubt here regarding, and as the previous halachas were Sveg Zaina, here also, we don't know if she was Mzana or not. Now, this is Bein Shalai Ratzah's Hilishas, whether she didn't want to drink, Bein Shalai Ratzah Lashkoisa, whether he didn't want to give her a drink. Whether because there was testimony that prevented her from drinking, where one witness testifies that he said they saw her being a mizana, which with this man that the husband had warned, which Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Saita that she's not going to drink, which here actually she's definitively forbidden her husband, not out of doubt, and for sure to the kuna, and this Rambam ends at the end, misaf, is actually going to the other cases. But Bein Shekinu LaBezdin, whether because the courts had warned her, which also there she doesn't drink. Bein Shalisim in Anashim Shein Ritz Lishol, whether she's warned the women that are not fit to drink, which Ram explains over there in the Hilchas Seitan Perek Beis. Be that as it may, the halach is Hoy Loishasim B'Kamakim, since she didn't end up drinking. Her is Asur, Lakun V'Safik, she's at least forbidden to the kind. Out of doubt, she might be a Zayna, because we can't verify with the drinking of the May Seitan, so she's forbidden to the kind. Now, halach Gimel, the Ram goes to regarding the trustworthiness of the woman herself. Let's say they saw a single woman that had relations with a man, and that man left. They said to her, who's this man that had relations with you? She says, Adam Kasha, a righteous person, harizin the man. She's believed, not righteous, but a kosher person, meaning it wasn't a man that was would make her into a zayna, so she's believed. Not only that, even if they see that she's pregnant, Ramli says, oh, maybe this about you're not married, who are you pregnant from? Ramli says, from a kosher man, or he's in the man, she's believed, but Tima Teres a kohen, and therefore she can be permitted to a kohen. She did not become a zayna, although she had relations with a man. Now, Allah Yadal, the Ramah qualifies as a medvar, when do we say this? That the place where she had relations with this man was by the crossroads of the Kronosh Abbasadis or by the corners of the fields. Shakol, even from that everyone passes over there. Now, there's two criteria. So everyone's passing over there. Now, so we're talking about people are passing by. But moreover, number one, by your rival even some chair. Most of the people that pass over there in that area are kosher men, meaning to say that they're not men that would make her into a zayna. And number two, Vareva Irsha Parsha Ela Ivan Menik Shem, most of the city where the people are coming from that pass by over there are also kosher. And why do we need two majorities? Usually in halacha we require only one. Shacham Asamal Biyachzin, because the sages they made an elevated status regarding the lineage, which is regarding the laws of marriage, and they required two majorities. One, the majority of the inhabitants of the city, and the majority of people that pass by over there. Because Aval, but let's say, the most of the people who pass by over there actually would disqualify her. Meaning, like we're saying, as a Zayna for the Kuna. For example, most of the people that pass by over there are non-Jews, or illegitimate descendants, or people like that. So, now, even though the most of the people of the place where they're coming from are kosher, still most people who pass by over there are not. Or the other way, most of the people that from the place they're coming from are invalid. Although that path, the path goes to be mentioned. Most of the path, people that pass by that path are kosher, still Cheshina, we're concerned for her, and the reason is Shemala Misha Paisalai Sunibala, maybe for the man that is invalid for her, that would disqualify her, she had be with him. And therefore, initially, she should not get married to a kohen, as the concern that she's a zayna. Now, this is like this, but if she did get married, the proper gear says she does not leave, because ultimately, one right is sufficient. It's only rabbinic stringency that they made for the laws of marriage, that of two majorities. Now, Allah does vav. The Rambam further qualifies, says, this was all, as we said, by the crossroads, places where people are passing by. But let's say, ru'u'a shenivala be'ir. In this Ababir, let's say they see that she cohabited in the city, or she became pregnant in the city, which there's no passerbys, it's in the city. It's something permanent. So, even in that city, all very religious city, there's only one non-Jew, or one chalal, or a slave, or anything like that. This woman who had relations with a man, she cannot initially get married to a kohen. Why? Well, this is 99.9% of the city are people that are kosher. The reason is, what's called halacha shakala kavu, whatever is permanent, kemetza nechzehu, is considered like 50-50. There's no majority over here. This halacha that we go after the majority is only when we're qualifying a person or a thing that uprooted from its permanent place and it went somewhere else. We don't know, did it come from the majority or the minority? So we say we go after the majority. What's called the parsh, rupa parsh, whatever separated came from the majority. In other words, once removed from its place, for sure came from the majority. But when the majority and minority are permanent, are stationary, and the doubt is on the person who ended up in there, whom did you go to? Oh, did you go to majority and minority? In that situation, we don't say we go after the majority, because since nothing moved from its place, so it's a 50-50 chance where exactly it went. Which Ram holds that even if, the truth is, even if the one who had relations went to Har, where there, seemingly you should say, call the person, even though in the city, and most of the people in the city are kosher, even so, a woman should not initially get married to a kohen as a decree because of a situation where she might go to the bayil. In other words, where he's going to be stationary, and she can go to him, where then you're not going to have the halacha of going after the majority. So therefore, even in such a case, when he went to Har, we're going to say not to get married, as we said, because only when there's two majorities, when this passerby and from the city, the majority are kosher, then we're going to say that she could go ahead and get married. No. But Vimnisis, ultimately, at the end of the day, if he did get married to a late say she doesn't have to leave, she says, I had a relationship with a kosher man, and therefore, even though initially we say not, because we say, ultimately we believe her, who she said she had relations to, and she won't have to leave that marriage. Now, halacha dezai. Let's say she was mute, or deaf mute, or she says, I don't know who I had relations with. Or she was a minor, she doesn't know who's a kosher man and who's someone that would invalidate her. So I raise this fake zayna, said that's a situation of a doubt of a zayna. And then this is the kind of if she even in this case, even if she got married to the king, she would have to leave because it's a subject deraisa. Unless, like we said, unless the two majorities that were by her were kasher. For example, they had relations by the crossroads, and most of the people who passed by and the city where they came from are kosher, like we said, halachah down. Then, based on the two majorities, we would permit her to marry a kohen. Now, halachah down, the Rambam discussed the related halacha of a shavuya, of a captive woman. Says the Rambam, hashavuya, a captive woman that was taken to captivity by non-Jews, sheniftis, that was ultimately redeemed. And she was over at least three years old or more. Asul kain, that woman is now forbidden to marry a kain. She's again a suffix as a zayna. Maybe she had a relation with a guy who's obviously forbidden to marry a Jewish woman. And again, that would make her into a zayna. We don't know if that happened or not. Out of that doubt, she'd have been into a kain. Now, but let's say she has a witness that she was never secluded with the non-Jewish captor. She's permitted to marry a kain. Now, even if this one witness is a slave or a maidservant or a relative, which are generally not kosher for testimony, the men is laid to for this testimony, they are going to be believed. Now, moreover, even the Shtei Shavuyos, two women that were taken in captivity, each one are testifying for the other one, again, they're going to be believed, and the reason why we're being so lenient is since the prohibition of all these doubts are only from rabbinic concern, which is that only concern that maybe she had relations with a non-Jew, therefore, regarding the captive woman, we were lenient regarding all these testimonies. And so to Allah, if you had a minor, a young boy, that was just instantly saying that woman was never defiled, Neman, he'd be believed. As the Rambam brings, Ma'isa Be'echad, there's actually a story with a certain person, him and his mother were taken in captivity. And the boy was innocently saying over, and he was saying, me and my mother were taken in captivity by the non-Jews. And he says, but I always paid watch to protect my mother. I went to draw water, and I was thinking about my mother. Look at Eitzim, I was going to gather wood, and I was thinking about my mother. And therefore the chassidus, based on what he was saying, that obviously he protected his mother, she was never defiled, they allowed her to get married to a kohen based on what this boy was innocently, what's called masiklav v'tume, saying. Now, halachic test, however, in a baal neman lahoid be'ishta shvuyish le'nitma, a husband's not believed regarding his wife to testify that although she was a captive, that she was never defiled. She ain't not made lots because a person cannot testify himself, and the wife is considered ishta kagufa like himself. Now, so to v'chin shivchaschol le'sarid la, so to her own maidservant cannot testify for her. But her husband's maidservant could testify for her. And more of a shifchasa, but if her maidservant was just innocently saying, without the intent of testifying, then the men understand she would be believed. Halacha chaf. If a kohen testifies regarding a woman that was in captivity, he could testify that she was never defiled. He's not allowed to marry her. Why? Because maybe he desires to get married to her, and his whole permissibility is dependent on the fact that she's Taira, therefore his testimony cannot be used for him to go ahead and marry her. So although one is believed, not for himself. Now, but if in Pedavahid, but let's say he redeemed her, he paid money for her to be redeemed, and then he testified, and then actually he could marry her, and the reason is, she lo yoda, she tara, because if he wouldn't know that she's tara, he wouldn't necessarily have given monies to redeem her, which, yeah, because he wanted to marry her, but he could only marry her if she was not defiled and not a zayna. So therefore, there we would believe him because he put his money where his mouth is. Halachi chafalv, now the Ram discusses back again regarding the trustworthiness of the woman herself, specifically in the situation of what's called Pesha Asa Hu Pesha Hita. The Ram says, Halach Chavalv. Ha'ish Shom in Nishbeisu Tarni. The woman says, I was taken to captivity. So we said similar halachas regarding Zayna, and the Shvuy is a similar a suffix Zayna. So the woman says, I was taken in captivity, but a tyranny. But I was never defiled. So in the minute, she's believed. Why? Shapesha Asa Hu Pesha Hita. This is what's called the mouth that's making problematic, meaning we didn't know anything about her being a Shvuy. So we presumed she was Mutu Tokai. But she's in captivity, which would generally make her forbidden because of suffix Zayna. But her own mouth that said that she's prohibited, Hu Pesha Hita, is the same mouth that's saying, yeah, but it wasn't defiled. So that's what's called a migui, and therefore she's believed because she didn't have to say that she was shavuya, and she wouldn't have been forbidden. So if she did, she's believed to say that she permitted. Now, even though there's one witness who, even without what she's saying, testified that she was taken in captivity, still she could refute him, because, like we said, we only make her invalid with two witnesses that she was taken in captivity. So even though there's one witness already saying, we're still going to believe her. Now, but if there were two witnesses that, without what she's saying, two witnesses saying that she was taken in captivity, then in the minute, then she's not believed because they're not relying on her word to say Apesha Asa because we have the witnesses. Until you have one witness that says, yeah, she might have been in captivity, but she was tar, then we're going to believe the one witness, but then we're not going to believe her. Now, let's say the two witnesses who testified that she was taken in captivity. So again, we don't have her Apesha Asa. But we even have one witness who testifies, yeah, and she was defiled. Meaning this is the captivity, and then, okay, we don't know anything foul went wrong, but we have one witness who says she was defiled. But you have another witness say it's not true, he refutes that witness, says it's not true, she was never defiled. And she was never secluded with that non-Jew until she was redeemed. So even if that witness who was saying that she was tar, is Ishai Shivcha is a woman or maidservant, he or she is going to be permitted that even though, even if the one who says that she was Tamei came first, still going to be permitted because by a Shvuya the rabbis were lenient to trust one witness, no matter who the witness is, even in the refutation of another one witness. Halacha Beis. Misham in Nish Beis, if the woman says, I was taken in captivity, Utarini, but I am Tar, and so therefore, like we said before, Vetura Bezdin Lenasi, so the court's allowed her to marry Kain. But the Akach Bosh named Shanish. Then we had subsequently two witnesses who said that she was taken in captivity, which had they come before, we wouldn't believe her because it's only based on a Pesha Asa. But you're not the Pesha Asa, two witnesses. But in this case, they'd already permitted to get married, and only then the two witnesses came. So then Hariza Tanisla Gitchil, then she could initially get married. But like Tesim Eternal, she doesn't lose her permissibility that the court already gave her based on her Pesha Asa. Now, even if they follow into the court, her captors are following after her. Now we see her captive in the hand of her captors. Doesn't make a difference. We don't lose the heter that we had given her, which we didn't know that she was a captive, and therefore based on her pesha aser, we believe her pesha that she is permitted. Then we have to protect her because she is still a captive. We have to make sure that they're not going to do anything to her until she's redeemed. But ultimately, when she's redeemed, even if we have witnesses, even if we see the captor, we ultimately retain the heter that we had given her to marry her. Now, however, Halacha of Gimel says the Rama. But let's say we have two witnesses, not only that she was a captive, but we have two witnesses that said that she was actually defiled. They said, we saw the guy having znus with her. Ah, then I feel, and this is even if she had already gotten married based on the heter the courts had given her. I feel like, but if she had children, I hesitate, she has to leave, because obviously she is a zayna, which is forbidden to that husband as a kain. Now, but if let's say on one witness subsequently comes along and says she was a mizana, that's nothing significant. Now the Rambam continues, let's say she says, Nishbeisi utahirani. She says that I was taken into captivity, but I was never defiled. And you have witnesses that could testify that I was never defiled. So we don't say, oh, okay, let's wait until we have witnesses to verify. No, we permit it right away. Not only that, even if this room is going around, that there are witnesses that could testify that she was defiled, doesn't make a difference. We permit her until they come, because like we said, we're more lenient by the laws of the captive woman. It's only a suspicion. And if she says that she was tired, we believe her. Halacha Chabdal. Ha'av sha'amar, related discussion, if the father says, Kedashti es biti v'gershti, says, I betrothed my daughter, and she was divorced. Now, v'ari ketana, and she's still a minor. So Neman, the father is believed to make her with a presumption that she's a divorcee, which subsequently she's forbidden to a guy. Now, let's say he says, Kedashti v'gershti, kashay es ketana. Let's say he says, I married her off, and she was divorced when she was a minor. But v'ari ketana, now she's an adult, and she's 15, and he's testifying that this happened when she was, let's say, 7. Then he's not believed to have her be presumed to be a divorcee. And the reason for this is because we only trust the father at the duration when his daughter is a minor, not when she's an adult. Now, here's where it relates to the halachas we were discussing. Let's say the father says, Nishbe supetisil. Let's say my daughter was taken as a captive, but I redeemed her. Now, this is whether when she's an adult, whether as a minor, even though she's a minor, and here the father is not going to believe. Why? The Torah only believes the father to make her forbidden, let's say, to a kohen, because of laws relating to marriage, which is, let's say, if she's a grusha, that she can't marry a kohen. Shlomik says in the Pasuk in the Devarim, my daughter I gave to this man, which is to say that he's believed to say that he married her to someone else, which subsequently will make her in the grusha forbidden to kohen. We don't believe him, even though it's his own daughter, to invalidate her as a zayin, and therefore she is going to be permitted to a kohen. Halacha vei, eishes kohen shenesul mishum shvuya. If the wife of a kohen became forbidden to him because she was taken in captivity, as we said, because she's a suffix zayin, hoyel vadav a suffix, since ultimately that's still halacha because of doubt, we don't know that she was mizana, harizim teres lodri my b'chatzar echad, so she is going to be permitted to dwell with him in the same courtyard, although generally, when it's forbidden, we require certain more general restrictions. Here, it's only a doubt. She permitted to live with him in the same courtyard. As long as he has his children, his family members, to protect him, that he doesn't seclude with his ex-wife because of the fact that she's forbidden to him, as long as he has some form of protection, they're allowed to live in the same courtyard. Now, halacha vav, the Rambam moves on to another case of safek zayna, specifically that of a siege that was on the city. Halacha vav, ir shabab b'matzah. If a city that was laid siege, of a nechbash and was conquered by the conquerors, so imhaya goyim akivin es imachal ruchaseh, if the non-Jews had surrounded the city from all sides, and kadesh leitimolot isha achas achiro isa b'te'asa b'te'asa b'shusen, that it would be impossible for any woman to flee until they would see her, and they would do with her what they would want to do, v'harikol anashim shabateich b'susa kundi kishabuyis, and all the women in that town are forbidden to marry a kohen like a woman that was taken in captivity, because maybe they were captured by the non-Jewish oppressors. Unless she was under 3 years old, as we explained, halacha yedzayin, if she's under 3 years old, then that does not qualify as an act of bia. Now, halacha of zayin. Now, if it is possible that a woman could escape, and they would not, I mean, there is a way out of town, that they wouldn't necessarily discern her, or even if she wouldn't escape the town, but there is one hiding spot in town. Even if that one hiding spot could only contain one woman, those two options could save the status of all the women in town to marry a kohen. As Rambam explains, halacha is ketzad, matzelas. What's this? How does it save the woman? Because any woman that says to her that I'm pure, that I wasn't defiled, which, like we said, is only a doubt. Maybe the man is she's believed now. Even though she doesn't even have a witness. Why? This is what's called a migui. Since she could technically say, because we don't usually believe her, but we could believe her based on the migui. And she could say, she could say that I fled when the city was conquered, because there was a way out of town. I was in that hiding place and I was saved. She's believed to say, even though she's not saying that, I didn't escape, and I wasn't hiding, but they didn't do anything to me. She's believed to say, I didn't escape, but I didn't hide, but I wasn't defiled, because of the migui, that she could have said this claim of the escape. Now, halacha of tes. When we say the halacha, the previous halachas, is begedut shel oisa malchus, specifically a battalion of that country, where they live here in these cities, they're not afraid. So we're concerned that maybe they just did their wanton desires and they defiled and raped the women. That's where we have the concerns, and therefore we would say that all the town members' women would be forbidden if they were totally surrounded. But if it's troops from another country, that they pillage and they spill over and they move on, oh, because they don't live here, then the women are not forbidden. Because they don't have time to rape. Shame Oyskin Mishal. They're busy taking the spoils, and they have to flee because they don't really live here and they're going to get they're going to get ambushed. So therefore, then we wouldn't be concerned. But v'mshom v'nashim, let's say as they fled, they took some women, some Jewish women as captives. V'nasim b'shushim, they became part of their dominion. Then av b'shur daf achreim yisol b'tzilas miyom. Then even if the Jewish people chased after them and they saved the women from them, harin nasu is already forbidden because they might have already defiled them. Now halacha lamed. If a woman was taken by non-Jewish men, and it was ali deimam, it was for financial, for monetary purposes, muteris, she's still going to be permitted to marry a kohen because they're afraid that they can lose their money if they rape her, because they're just doing it as a way of getting money. Now, if it's ali deimam fashas, but if it was for capital reasons, capital punishment that they were going to execute her, then asula kuna, then even if she ends up being saved, she is forbidden to a kohen because we presume that they would defile her. Ulufikach, therefore, if her husband was a kohen, Nesulav, she's going to be forbidden to him, because in contrast, a wife of Yisrael would be permitted, because not concerned that maybe she did it consensually, and again, if she was raped, she's permitted to her husband, that's Yisrael. Now, when we say this, all is not Shayad Yisrael Tekif al Goyim. This differentiation, if it's for financial or for capital punishment, is only when Shayad Yisrael Tekif al Goyim, when the Jewish people had might over the nations of the world. And they're afraid of the Jewish people, so therefore they wouldn't necessarily do something inappropriate unless they had really dominion. They wouldn't defile the Jewish woman just like that. But when the non-Jews are have much more might and they have rule and dominion over the Jewish people, and even if they took the Jewish woman even for financial reasons, but when she's already in the dominion of the possession of the non-Jews, necessarily she comes forbidden. And because we presume that they had defiled her, and they're not concerned they're going to lose their money, unless there's one person who testifies for her. Again, keshvulek is the halacha of the captive woman, like we explained previously in halacha yotest.